Good morning, Fellowship family. It's good to be with you again here on Facebook Live this morning. I hope you enjoyed the pictures that we had up this morning. I tell you, I'm looking forward to the time that we can all be together again in God's house. If you will, go ahead and take a few minutes. Well, let's take a couple of seconds. Take out your phone. I know you don't hear your preacher say that much, but take out your phone. Go ahead and share the video this morning as we're here together in God's house and going to share some scripture together, one with another here in a few minutes. We'll also have some special singing this morning. Good to have the girls with us this morning to sing. But go ahead and share the video. I've noticed as we've gone along that this has become kind of a normal thing. At first, we were all excited about it, and everybody was sharing the video, and it's kind of become a normal thing. And what I want you to do is go ahead and prepare to begin to get your mind and your heart ready to come back to the house of the Lord. I hope we're not far away from that. We have no idea. We get so much mixed information, but I hope that we're not getting into a place that we're enjoying sitting in our pajamas too much and listening to preaching on Sunday mornings. I'm glad you're with us, but we need to go ahead and prepare our hearts and our minds to be back in the house of the Lord, be together, draw strength one from another. And if you're listening and you don't have a home church, maybe you've been listening with us for a couple of weeks, or maybe you just happen to come by and find us on Facebook Live, we want to invite you to come and be with us at Fellowship once all of this is over and become part of our church family. Again, we thank you for being with us this morning. The girls are going to sing a couple of songs for us, and then we'll get right into God's Word.
He really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. He never favors me above the rest, but I can't help but feel that I am blessed. He treats me best, I often say. So love before, I can never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me.
He loves me like I was his only child. Oh, bless the Lord, yes, bless the Lord, well, bless his holy name. Let me not forget all his benefits or the blessings that he brings. Lifting up my hands to the great I am, let me never be ashamed. With all that is within me now, oh, bless his holy name. Now Jesus is to me my everything, and I bless the day he came. When he gave me drink from the fountain sweet, and I'll never thirst again. Now he threw the Spirit and of his Son to the Father, I can say, for your saving blood and for all your bless your holy and sweet name. Oh, bless the Lord, yes, bless the Lord, well, bless his holy name. Let me not forget all his benefits or the blessings that he brings. Lifting up my hand to the great I am, let me never be ashamed. With all that is within me now, oh, bless his holy name. Someday I'll move beyond the blue where a better home awaits. There to lay aside for a crown of life all the sorrow, death, and pain. To see my loved ones and to know I have left this world behind. I will lift my hands and I'll praise his name while I'm shouting through the sky. Oh, bless the Lord, yes, bless the Lord, well, bless his holy name. Let me not forget all his benefits or the blessings that he brings. Lifting up my hand to the great I am, let me never be ashamed. With all that is within me now, oh, bless his holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, yes, bless the Lord, well, bless his holy name. Let me not forget all his benefits or the blessings that he brings. Lifting up my hand to the great I am, let me never be ashamed. With all that is within me now, oh, bless his holy name. With all that is within me now,
oh, bless his holy name.
Amen. Thank you again, girls, for coming to sing this morning. I don't ever want to forget all the benefits that I've been given by being a child of God, and I am glad this morning that when it comes to God, I can have that only child syndrome. He loves me like I was his only child. If you will, take your Bibles this morning, and we're going to be in two different passages of Scripture, and we're going to be a few minutes before we actually get into the Scripture. I do desire your prayers this morning, but if you want to go ahead and mark your place in Revelation chapter number 20, and then also in Matthew chapter number 7, that's the two places that we're going to be at this morning, and like I said, we're going to be just a few minutes before we get into the Word. I ask you, if you will, to please pray for me as we try to preach what God's given us to bring to you this morning. I ask you, if you will, just to give me an opportunity before you cut me off and leave and go do something else and say I don't have to listen to this on Facebook Live and nobody knows. That's one thing about being in church. If you get up and walk out, at least you have to do it in front of everybody, but with Facebook Live, you can get up and walk out and nobody knows. But I'm going to ask you just to give me a few minutes to get to the message before you cut me off this morning and go do something else that would be more productive or maybe suit you a little better. So if you will, please bow your head and pray with me and pray for me this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day and we thank you for all your many blessings, God, and I pray that you'll help us never to forget your benefits, God, the benefits of being one of your children. God, I want to thank you that I can have that single-minded child mind when it comes to the way that you love me, that you protect me, and that you care for me. And God, I thank you and praise you for this opportunity that we have to get into your word this morning. God, I know that I'm not worthy to preach it, but I pray, dear Father, that you'll take it and the power that's in your word, and I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, God. God, I pray that you'll help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help me to always to preach in love. Help me to preach, God, in the way that you've given it to me, God, so that it will help us in our daily lives, that we may give you glory and point someone to the cross of Christ. God, I pray, dear Father, dear Lord, as we preach this morning, that your spirit will move. And I pray most of all, if it's one listening somewhere, God, that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that today will be the day that they hear that still small voice, that they feel you speaking to their heart. And God, wherever they're at, that they take an opportunity and accept you as their personal Savior. God, we thank you and we praise you for loving sinners like us. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. As we get into the message this morning, I do want to say that I am thankful for the way that you guys have been watching on Facebook Live and sharing the different posts and the different things. I thank you for the pictures that you sent in. I know that sometimes it's a little bit odd and awkward. Listen, it was as awkward as it could be for me to do that live post the other night sitting there in my house. I'm not one to sit around and record myself, and that's just not something that I like to do. I think I had like 22 outtakes before I got to what I actually sent out that night. So, yeah, sometime or other, I may have to show you all those bloopers, but not right now. But as we're doing the Facebook Live, again, I know that it is a little bit challenging sometimes to take 30 minutes and sit down and listen to them. But I ask you, if you will, just to treat it like church. When you get up on Sunday morning, if you get your cup of coffee and your breakfast or whatever, but still treat it like church. Take time and set out for the opportunity to hear God's word and for God to be able to speak to us. I think the longer that this goes, the less that we'll make time for this. It's becoming too normal for us, and I just want to encourage you to keep in your mind and in your hearts and in your daily lives that it's not going to be long and we're going to be able to be back together and take an opportunity to be together here in God's house. I do want to say, I'll just say it plain out, I do appreciate the way that you're still supporting the church. I do. The financial end of the church is still here, and I do want to just say thank you for the way that you are still supporting the church and the way that God is blessing. And I ask you to pray that we'll always take that financial support and that we'll follow God's leadership and that we'll always use that money, be good stewards of that money and use it, that God will be glorified and that someone may come to know Jesus Christ. Okay, let's get into the message this morning. First of all, I want us to take a look at some things that's been happening this week. Let's get into just a little bit of a current event. This is where I say, give me a few minutes before you cut me off or walk off and go do something more productive. So this week, we've been hearing a lot of numbers. We've been seeing a lot of statistics. We've been seeing a lot of different things in the news, and we've been given so much information that we don't know what information is correct and what information is incorrect. And as we've been looking in the past few weeks, we've seen a lot of predictions about worst-case scenarios when it comes to the pandemic that we're dealing with. We have been told what the worst-case scenario is, and we've been told how many people could or would be involved in this pandemic, how many people might be infected with this virus that we're dealing with right now. We've been told how many people would become critically ill with this virus that we're dealing with right now. We've been told how many people would require ventilators, how many people would recover, how many people will end up losing their life due to the virus that we're dealing with at this present time. As we look at the information that we've been given this week, we're getting information from people who don't know. They are taking their best guess, their best estimate. They're using information from other countries that we don't even know if we're getting good information from or not, and they're making these predictions, these estimates, and they're giving them out to us as American people, and it has caused things to happen in our lives. And as we look at what has happened, you know, there is no doubt that statistically, the statistics that they've been given to us, these numbers have definitely changed each and every one of our lives in some aspect, some form, or some fashion. It's hard to know what the true effect of the virus is. It's hard to know what the true numbers are because we have no idea where all the information is coming from. But as we look at these numbers and we've heard these numbers, one thing is for sure, due to the possibility of the worst case scenarios, every one of our lives have been changed in one way or another. Schools have been closed. Restaurant seating areas have been closed. Social distancing is the new norm. As I look at the sanctuary this morning, where normally on a regular Sunday morning, there would be somewhere between 250 and 300 people in the sanctuary. This morning, the sanctuary is empty besides a handful that is helping to do the sermon this morning. We are sitting here this morning with an empty sanctuary, so absolutely every one of our lives have been changed in some way, shape, form, or fashion, due to the possibility of the worst-case scenario. Sporting events have been canceled. Some of you have been sitting on your porches, recording your kids out playing ball in the yard because you miss being on the ball field, the ball court, some type of sporting event. You miss it so much that it has been reduced to just videoing your kids outside playing. Some of us at our house have been playing wiffle ball out in the front yard. There's a volleyball net in our front yard because we miss those things in our lives. Toilet paper and hand sanitizer has become almost impossible to find. I find myself, when I go to the grocery store to get some food, that I always go by and check the toilet paper aisle to make sure there's some striking paper at the house. So these things have definitely become life-changing for us. Small businesses, I'm trying to be a little bit lighthearted with some definitely heavy subjects this morning. Small businesses are struggling. A booming economy has been crippled. Many have become unemployed. So as you can see, because of the estimates or because of the possibility of the worst case scenario, there have been a lot of changes in each and every one of our lives. Now let me stop and give a disclaimer here. I believe that if the things that we have done have saved lives, and I believe that it has, but I believe if those things that we have done have saved lives, it has been worth it. There is no way in the world that I want to see anyone get sick, that I want to see anyone have to be placed on a ventilator, that I want to see anyone's loved one pass away, and especially the way that this happens, that they have to do it by themselves, isolated from everyone else. I don't want to see any of that at all. I'm going to use this to draw a parallel to some scripture in God's word here in just a moment. But as we look at this pandemic, this thing that's going on in our lives right now, and it's really been for about 5 or 6 weeks that it has become so real in our life and that it has affected our lives, all of these changes have happened, and we have all done our part, and we are still doing our part to try to keep the worst case scenario from happening, to try to keep people from getting sick. We don't want to see any of that happen. I want to do everything that I can to be sure that everyone stays safe, healthy, and happy, and that life can go back to as much as normal as it possibly can when all of this is over. But as we look at these things, and we're looking and we're getting information that we're not really even sure about, and we're getting these different numbers that we can't even calculate, and we've made all of these changes because of that, I want us to look in God's Word this morning for just a minute at a subject that is a kind of a tough subject. I want us to look for just a few minutes at, you know, I've been really enjoying the uplifting messages that God has been sending during this time. But this morning is more of a message that maybe challenge us as Christians, as non-believers. This message this morning may challenge us just a little bit instead of being so uplifting. But I'm glad that there's always uplifting in God's word, knowing that God loved us so much that he gave his son to die for us on a cross. But as we look at the way that our lives have changed in order to prohibit the worst case scenario from happening, I want us to look at a worst case scenario that's in God's word. I want to give you true Bible facts. I want to tell you this morning that I believe that this is the true, inspired, infallible word of God. I believe every word that's written in it, the ones that I can't comprehend, the ones that I can't explain, I still believe it. If God's word says it, I believe it. So let's look in Revelation chapter number 20 for just a minute, and let's begin reading with verse number 11. This is a true worst case scenario that could happen to a person. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I want you to notice here at the great white throne that this judgment is for people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So when you see here in verse number 12 that they are judged according to their works, the reason that they're judged according to their works is because they have nothing else. There is no other merit to them besides their works. Verse number 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. According to the word of God and according to the surety of God's word, and knowing that God's word is absolute truth, that there is coming a day when lost people will stand in judgment before God. And as it explains it to us here in Revelation chapter number 20, verses 11 through 15, as we just read, if you're standing there at that great white throne and you're judged according to your works, and the Bible tells us that when the book is open, when the book of life is open and your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, that you will be and that you will end up in a devil's hell. Hell was not created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels. And God provided a plan for us through his son, Jesus Christ, that we might escape that hell. But as Revelation chapter number 20 explains to us, if we fail to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and we stand in judgment at the great white throne and our name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you will definitely find yourself yourself in the worst case scenario. You will find yourself in a place without hope. You will find yourself in a place where there is no escape from that. You'll be standing before a righteous and an almighty God that provided a plan for you to escape Satan, that he provided a plan for you to escape the devil's hell. And there you stand without Jesus Christ in your life. And the Bible says that if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you would be cast into the lake of fire. That is the absolute worst case scenario. I know the scenarios that we've been given through this pandemic is terrible. They're awful. I don't want to see anybody catch the virus and end up losing their life. I don't want to catch the virus and end up losing my life. I don't want to die alone without my family. I don't want to be isolated. I don't want to see that happen to any of those people that I love. But I want you to know that if that happens to me, if that happens in my life, just know that I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, and that is still not the worst case scenario for me. The worst case scenario is to stand before God not knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As we look this morning, as we look at this worst case scenario, as we've been given the worst case scenarios through this pandemic, the things that we've been told, like I said, they're just getting information from other places. They're giving us their best thought. They're giving us their best hypothesis. They're giving us their best guess. But I want to tell you on the authority of God's word that this is real. This is absolute truth. And what I just read to you will absolutely happen to people that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let's consider some statistics. As we've been talking about the worst case scenario this morning, we've been talking about the information that we've been given. We've been talking about numbers that have been handed to us through this pandemic that we're dealing in. And again, we are handed numbers that we don't know where they're collected from. We don't know the truth of these numbers. We don't know the absolute to these numbers. But let me give you some numbers in God's word that we can look at. Matthew chapter number 7. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Well, preacher, that's not a definite number. No, but let's continue reading and let's compare and contrast the two numbers that were given here in Matthew chapter number 7. Let's read verse 13 again. "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Here in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 13 and verse number 14, we find some suggestions of some numbers. We find some absolute truth of some numbers here in these two verses. First of all, the Bible says that the enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Let me tell you, you don't want to be on that way that leadeth to destruction. Sure, here in this life, sometimes that way seems fun. Sometimes that way is pleasurable to our flesh. But as we look at this scripture, we want to see where that wide, broad gate leads to. It leads to destruction. And the Bible says, "And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." According to God's word here in Matthew chapter number 7, the majority of the people that we're around, the majority of the people in this world are not on their way to heaven. According to God's word, the majority of the people in the world are going to be standing in this worst case scenario that we read about in Revelation chapter number 20. According to God's word, as we look at these two verses, few there be that find the way to heaven. And we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one cometh unto the Father except by me, is what Jesus said. And as we look at that, we know what the way is in order to go to heaven. But the Bible teaches us that few there be that find that. Many find the way that leadeth unto destruction. Many there are going to be that stands there, as we talk about in Revelation chapter number 20, at the great white throne judgment, when the only thing that they have to be judged on is their works, because they've done too many times, because they walked away from a love that a God had for them and allowed Jesus Christ to lay down his life for them. What I want to ask you this morning is, which way are you on? Are you on the way of the few, or are you on the way of the many? As we've gone through this pandemic, because we wanted to make a difference in a few, because we wanted to change things for a few, or maybe many, we really don't know. We have all changed a lot of things in our life. We are doing a lot of things different in order to make a difference for some people. What I want to ask you this morning is, first of all, which way are you on? Which way are you? Are you on the way that leadeth to destruction, or are you on the way that leadeth to life and everlasting life with Jesus Christ? Because there is no middle road. There's not anything there in the middle that you can be on. You're either in or you're out. There is no possible way for you to be somewhere in the middle of that. It's not going to matter about what mama did, what daddy did, what grandma or grandpa did. If you built every church in the county, if you've given money to every church in the county, it doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. It doesn't matter any of those things. What's going to matter is if you've ever took the opportunity to get on your knees and to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins. That is the only thing that'll put you on that straight, narrow path that leadeth to life. But I'm afraid, as the Bible tells us here, there are so many that have passed that opportunity. There are so many that have sat in our church houses and the conviction of God has come upon their heart and they've said no, and they've said no, and they may be in a place now to where they think that they're making it on their own, but that is the broad, wide way that leadeth to destruction. That is going to lead you to the worst case scenario that we read about in Revelation chapter number 20. Do you really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, the thing of it is I can't tell whether you do or not. I know your testimony. I know what you tell me. But only you and God know whether you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The same way with me. Only I know what my relationship with Jesus Christ is. Only I know if I've asked Him to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life. It doesn't matter about all those other things. It doesn't matter about those things. It only matters whether or not you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. We've all witnessed an entire country being changed in order to make a difference for a few. First of all, what path are you on? Are you on the way that leadeth to destruction, or are you on the way that leads to life? Many there be that find the destruction. Few there be that find the way that leads to life. The second question I have for you this morning, and this is going to be to our Christians, to people who are sitting at home this morning, they're listening to this message, and they know without a doubt that they've asked Jesus Christ to come into their life. They know without a doubt that He has forgiven them of their sins, and they are on that straight and narrow way. They're on that way that leadeth to life. They're part of the few. And I want you to know this morning that it's not His will that any should perish, but it's His will that all should come to repentance, that all should be on that straight, narrow path. But it's a choice that each and every one of us make. But as you're sitting at home this morning, and you know that you know without a doubt that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins and come into your life, what are you willing to change in your life in order to make a difference in someone else's? See, we've quit going to restaurants and eating in order to hopefully keep someone safe. We've quit doing a whole lot of things. We've let our economy just take a tank. It has just tanked in the last few weeks because of the changes that we've made. We've seen people that we know that have been laid off from their jobs. There's so many changes. The schools are shut down. The basketball games are shut down. Everything has been changed in order to make a difference in someone's life here on this earth, which is very important, but it's temporary. And what we're talking about this morning is eternal. What would you be willing to change in your life in order to make a difference in someone else's eternity? Are you willing to change the way that you're living? Are you willing to talk right? Are you willing to walk right? Are you willing to deny yourself, to take up your cross and follow Christ daily? See, there's some things that we can do each and every day that are either going to help people find that straight, narrow way, or it's going to leave them on that broad, wide way that leads to destruction. Your life, the way that you live your life, absolutely matters. I know you sat here this morning. You may say, well, I know that I'm saved. I know that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know when I stand before God that He's going to see the blood on my life. But what are you doing to change that for somebody else? What are you doing in order that someone else might find that straight, narrow way? What are we doing in order that someone else might not find that worst case scenario that we gave a while ago? We're willing to do all of these things here on this earth, but let's talk about eternity for a minute. What are we willing to do to change someone's eternity? Are you willing to share the gospel with someone? Well, preacher, that feels so weird. When I'm out somewhere and I start talking about Jesus, it just seems like something weird. Let me tell you what that something weird is, that there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you mention the name of Jesus Christ, I want to tell you that Satan is going to release every force that he can around you in order to make that feel so weird and to make that feel so awkward that you just want to go away and that you just, well, somebody might think that I'm weird. It's all right. Be weird. If you're going to be weird, be weird for the gospel's sake. If you're going to be odd for the gospel's sake. Let someone know about Jesus Christ and his willingness to give his life for us. Let someone know about that straight, narrow way that leads to life. To get off that broad, wide way that leads to destruction. Are we willing to change the way that we talk, the way that we act, the things that we do, the little bit of the world that we're still hanging on to in our life? Are we willing to let it go in order to allow someone else to come to know Jesus Christ? Are you willing to create a new norm in your life? See, the thing of it is we have the cure. We absolutely have the cure, and his name is Jesus Christ. You know, it would almost be, if you was walking around with a cure to this coronavirus in your pocket, and you saw people around you struggling, you saw people around you catching this virus, you knew that the hospitals were full of people on ventilators and that people were losing their life, and you had the cure in your pocket and you just kept it right there. You didn't share it with anybody. You didn't tell anybody about it. That's about the same. That is a great parallel for the way that we have Jesus Christ. The way that we know what a difference he can make in their life and in their eternity. And we just put it in our pocket and don't tell anyone else about it. God help us. That we'll take the things that are eternal as serious as we do the things that are so temporal here on this earth. Jennifer, if you will, I want to ask you to play Just As I Am. As you're here and you're listening this morning on Facebook, maybe just take a minute and just bow your head right there where you're at in your living room. First of all, I want to ask you, what path are you on? Are you part of the few or are you part of the many? Are you on the path that leads to destruction? One day, are you going to stand before God and your name's not going to be written in the book? And he's going to have to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. If you find yourself in that place this morning, I want to share the greatest news ever. I want to share with you that Jesus Christ gave his life to wash away your sins. That he hung on a cross and he gave his life and they put him in a grave. And on the third day, he arose again. He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. If you're here and if you're listening this morning and you feel that tug, I want you to know something, that his Holy Spirit is right there where you're at, and he's inviting you to have a relationship with him. Would you say this? Would you say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. God, I know that I failed. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I don't want to be on the way that leads to destruction. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. If you would pray that this morning, just like that, your path has changed. Just like that, worst case scenario, leaves your life. And you just became a child of God. Maybe you're listening this morning. You found yourself in the place that I am. You found yourself in the place that I know without a doubt that Jesus Christ saved my soul. I'm willing to do a lot of things here for the temporary, but there's some eternal things that I need to be investing in that I'm not investing in. Are you willing to change some things in your life in order to help someone find Jesus Christ? Well, preacher, that's what God gives us preachers for, and that's the reason we got really spiritual people. No. Each and every one of us have a testimony of how God changed our life, forgave us of our sins. Share your testimony with someone. Live your life in front of them in a way that shows that Jesus Christ made a difference. I'm not going to say that you won't mess up. I'm not going to say that you won't make mistakes. I'm not going to say that you won't sin, because I do all three of those things. But what I will say is, if you will surrender your life unto Jesus Christ and allow him to have control and yield yourself unto him, that your life can be a testimony that points someone to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. God, I want to thank you for your word. God, I pray that you'll help me to always to preach these messages in love, knowing without you that I'm nothing, that I'm just a sinner saved by your grace. God, I fall and I come short and I sin. God, I know those things, but God, help me that when those things happen in my life, that I truly repent, turn away from it. And God, please don't let me do it at times that it may become a stumbling block to someone that's on that wide, broad path that leads to destruction. God, help us to realize that we have the cure for the biggest problem in this world, and that's sin. That we have that cure and go out and give the gospel to a lost and a dying world. God, thank you for this opportunity that we've had to come together this morning. God, thank you for this Facebook Live that we have that we can use to get your word out. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help us in this time, that we'll continue to focus on you, that we'll continue to lean on you, trust in you, because you have all of the answers. God, I'm looking forward today when we can have this church house filled again, when we can come together, we can worship you and give you glory. All these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Again, thank you for being with us this morning. We really appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day and watching this live feed. If you will, again, continue to share this. It's almost like inviting your friends to church when you like it and share it. I'm looking forward to being back in church with you. But until then, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we'll be back on our live feed with our Wednesday night Bible study. Have a great day.